All right, our last speaker in this session is Dr. Lisanne Parker. Dr. Parker received her PhD in pharmacology from Vanderbilt. She then conducted a postdoctoral fellowship in neurobiology at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis. Prior to her current position, Dr. Parker was a senior research biologist in neuroscience drug discovery at Merck Research Laboratories in Boston. She was engaged in research to identify and validate novel Alzheimer's disease drug targets, including lead compound identification. Dr. Parker is currently scientific liaison to the WHO Stop TB Partnership Working Group on new TB drugs at the TB Alliance. The working group serves as a platform for interaction among partners in all stages of TB drug R&D to increase efficiencies and decrease risk for the development of effective and affordable new therapies. Dr. Parker acts as the secretariat for the working group, managing the efforts of a variety of stakeholders from academia, industry, and international health agencies to coordinating global TB drug research and development. Please join me in welcoming Dr. Parker back to Vanderbilt.
Thank you, Lane, and thank you for the organizers for inviting me to this symposium. I remember distinctly when I started here in 1997, and I think it was in 1998 that we had a career symposium, and I remember sitting out there thinking, wow, there is more to just an academic life from the bench. And not to say that that really influenced my current career path, but it was really eye-opening, and I hope that what I'm able to present and our other speakers have already shared with you today, that you do have a lot of opportunities with the degree that you're pursuing. So the title of my talk is From Academic and Industry Bench to Nonprofit Bedside. And here's a little recap of my journey. I was a graduate student here and became a postdoctoral research associate at St. Jude Research Hospital. And my decision to go 2.5, 3 hours down the road actually was because in my personal life, I was involved in working with deaf and hard of hearing individuals. And while pursuing my graduate work and working on signaling and scaffolding proteins in pharmacology, I saw a fantastic opportunity to move from a biochemical in vitro approach to an animal-based approach and combine my personal interest with deafness and my molecular biology training, and found a lab at St. Jude that was publishing very well, working with mouse models, and I could combine my two personal interests, my training and understanding the biological basis of hearing disorders. And from there, I had a postdoctoral fellowship while I was at St. Jude. It was the UNCF Merck postdoctoral fellowship. And through it, I was teamed with a Merck mentor, and I had an opportunity to really better understand and appreciate what life as a scientist is in industry. And that was very eye-opening as well, and it became a direction that I wanted to pursue when I was ready to wrap up my postdoctoral studies. And at the time, I expressed this. And so one thing I'll tell you right up front is, whatever you're doing, communication is key. I remember that learning that simple phrase when I was interviewing here at Vanderbilt, that communication is key, and use that key to open many doors and communicate and network with many people that you come across. And I expressed my interest of being in cutting-edge research, being able to contribute to that, working in a fast-paced environment, and still actually working within the area of neuroscience, which was most of my training up until that point. And my Merck mentor mentioned that there was a new Merck research site that had opened up in Boston, and they were recruiting for neuroscience positions. And so I applied, and I was fortunate enough to land a position in our neuroscience drug discovery group. I spent 2.5 years there, and have entered now into my current position as scientific liaison between the TB Alliance and the Working Group on New TB Drugs. Before I tell you specifically about my role, I do want to highlight something that took place from moving from industry, where people think, oh, you made good money in industry, and you know, it is the dark side of science, but really in reality it's not, because every single person here takes drugs in some way, shape, or form, whether it's you go to the drugstore or you have to go and fill a prescription. You would hope that the scientists that have worked on those drugs actually know what they're doing, and that they have an idea to treat your diseases. And so when you really think in a better and a more informed perspective of what industry research is, it is an opportunity to know that your research will possibly influence or impact the therapeutics that are currently out in the market. And I, in working at Merck and as a senior research biologist with the Neuroscience Drug Discovery Group, I was involved in Alzheimer's disease and had project teams. And so my first year, I kind of was literally, I was handed a paper and said, okay, you're going to work in cerebrovascular disorders related to Alzheimer's disease. Pick a target. And literally, that's not what you think about when you think about industry science, but our environment was a small environment. We were a new research site. We were a developing culture. Most of us were hired out of academia. And it was exhilarating and scary at the same time, because unlike being in an academic institution, you set objectives in the beginning of your year, and this is what you want to accomplish, this is how you're going to accomplish it, and by the end of the year, you are assessed according to what you said you would accomplish, and you are rated accordingly, whether you've accomplished your objectives or you're not. And so you get to work really quickly, and you learn to collaborate very quickly, and you learn to speak up, you learn to address certain topics that you think are interesting and make points related to your research, because at the same time that you are learning to advocate for yourself, you're also learning to become a better team player, because that's a theme that you've heard many times already with a lot of the presentations, is that being a team player is very important. And my second year being at Merck, I did become involved in a direct team, and I can talk about that a little bit later, but we underwent an internal reorganization in our Boston site. And at that time, I did not know whether I was going to be placed and continue with my company, or whether I was going to be let go. And I began to proactively communicate what it was that I was interested in. I'm passionate about people. I love interacting with people. I didn't necessarily see myself at the bench long term, although being at the bench was fun. When I got into the lab and I could commit to focusing on a particular idea or learning a new set a new experiment and looking at the data, I really enjoyed that aspect of it. But I also enjoyed meeting and interacting with people, bridging gaps between industry and academia, as well as the general community. So I wanted to have an education component. I wanted to have a more outward-facing type role. So I expressed that to the many people that I spoke with. And I was placed in contact with a scientist who had been a Princeton principal investigator. He had his own lab at Princeton, had moved to Merck, and after being at Merck for several years, actually went to the Global Alliance for TB Drug Development, which I'll discuss in a minute. But it's a nonprofit drug development company to develop new tuberculosis drugs. I was placed in contact with him and spoke to him, and then a light bulb went off, like, wow, you mean I could work in a nonprofit setting, taking other people's money to develop drugs and give it away to third world countries? That's awesome. And that's what I decided that I wanted to do. I wanted to become a scientist involved in the nonprofit world, and I began to look for those opportunities. Well, as I said, as I'm making these connections, I'm still employed with Merck, I'm making these connections, I then find out that I have been placed and I could move from an early drug discovery type position into still within the realm of neuroscience, which I've been trained in, and moved to a different site, which I don't have a problem moving, so I was flexible in that, but it would now be into lead optimization. So less outward facing roles, less collaborations, more time at the bench, and really I felt I would be a little bit more robotic, unlike the position that I currently had. So I separated from the company. Okay, so anybody who I met with back in December knew that it was kind of ironic that I was sitting talking to some of the graduate students in pharmacology, and I was telling them I'm unemployed. So that was a very interesting time for me, because I separated from Merck in April of 2009, and I didn't become employed again until January of this year. So during that course of time, I had a good opportunity to network. One of the people that I networked with was actually Dr. Lee, who you have spoken to. A Merck, former Merck colleague, placed me in contact with her, and she introduced me to the networking sites that she shared with you. But she also mentioned to me the same exact statement: how do I want to be viewed when I'm looking at a nonprofit position? And it was very much that I still wanted to be viewed as a scientist, not strictly as an administrative role. So I explored these opportunities in the nonprofit world, and a position opened up on something called the Dropout Club, which is, it's abbreviated DOC, and Dr. Lee had invited me to this. And this position for a scientific liaison between the Global Alliance for TB Drug Development and the WHO Stop TB Partnership Working Group on New Drugs had opened up. It was posted, and it sounded, when I read the job description, it really resonated with me, because it seemed to embody everything that I had expressed to every person that I networked from February, March, until October, when this position had posted. And just to give you a little background, the TB Alliance, that's our smaller name, because Global Alliance for TB Drug Development is a bit long. So the TB Alliance actually is a PDP. It's a product development partnership. It's a nonprofit drug development company. It was established in 2000 to develop new tuberculosis drugs. And I'm umbrella housed underneath the TB Alliance. And my position as liaison is with the World Health Organization. So the WHO has a Stop TB Partnership arm, and that arm has seven working groups. And of those seven working groups, three of them are tools. And the tools are new drugs, new vaccines, and new diagnostics. And each of those have a secretariat, and they have a working group of members, and those members are people from the lay community, activists, advocates, government officials, and people within industry and academia. And all of us function to monitor what's going on in our respective areas. And for mine, that's drug development. So while I didn't have an infectious disease background, from the time I was at Vanderbilt in pharmacology, I've focused strictly on neuroscience. I was able to leverage my drug discovery experience and really express my interest in people, my passion for people, and bring to them the drug discovery background that I had, even though it was a new disease area. And what was fascinating to me, and I did not realize this, I was very naive to this, is that there are more than 2 billion people, that's one-third of the world's population, that are infected with the bacilli that cause tuberculosis. And one of every 10 people will become sick in their lifetime with active TB. What is really appreciated in the United States is that TB is actually the leading cause of death for HIV-infected individuals in the developing world. And in 2007, almost 2 million people died of TB. That's equivalent to about 4,800 deaths per day. Now, why isn't it a big issue in the United States? Well, we do have drugs, and the drugs work really well. And the problem is the length of treatment with the drugs. Most of the first-line TB drugs, you need to be on treatment for 6 to 9 months. If you get multi-drug-resistant TB, you're on treatment for for 18 to 24 months. So a break in your tuberculosis treatment can lead to extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis. And what's even and what's a really big factor involved with tuberculosis is that it is a disease of poverty. It affects mostly young adults in their most productive years, and again in developing countries. So what's my role as scientific liaison? As scientific liaison, I interact with a number of stakeholders. And one of the big things that when I came into the working group was managing an online global pipeline for tuberculosis drug development. So the premise of the TB Alliance is actually to develop drugs that are safer, faster and effective, and that aren't contraindicated in patients that are HIV infected who are taking antiretroviral therapy. And that's really the premise, and what I help to do is I manage this global online pipeline, and this pipeline can have contributions through anybody globally who's working on what they believe to be a compound or a screening platform that will help to push forward tuberculosis R&D. So very much a collaborative, proactive role to develop bridges between academia, industry, and government. I also took upon the challenge of writing a weekly blog. And again, I was mentioning a little bit out there to my friends earlier that people, if I'm on Facebook, I'm on there once, maybe every few months, not like most of my other friends who are on there updating daily. So I took on this challenge of writing a weekly blog. And that weekly blog is focused on TB R&D. So I have quickly had to come to understanding and speed of tuberculosis, infectious disease, vaccines, diagnostics, but it's also a challenge to me because it allows me to keep cutting edge research. Again, that's what I'm trained to do. I'm fascinated by that, and that's a skill that I want to continue to hone. And so I keep up with what's being published through PubMed, and I'll write a concise concise opinion or presentation of the work that's presented, as well as we'll blog from after I'll go to a scientific meeting for tuberculosis, I'll come back and I will make a list of the presenters and what their major findings were for their research. Again, this is a proactive role to increase the online global communication for TB R&D scientists in various areas. Another role is working closely with the WHO Stop TB Partnership. And in 2005, the Stop TB Partnership put out a global plan, and this is for the control and elimination of tuberculosis globally. And so in that plan, it encompassed 2006 to 2015, and basically it was to develop, you know, how we are going to develop new drugs, new vaccines, and new diagnostics, and how we are going to bring that to people, and how much is that going to cost? And so really this forms an advocacy document. And so I've been involved in the revision of this document because now we're mid-year for the global plan and just really sharing globally what's going on. So what are the key aspects of my role? Collaboration, advocacy, scientific administration, and scientific management. There are additional types of initiatives. So I work with a core team of people whose full-time jobs are to run labs, whether that's in government, industry, or academia. And I take their initiatives and make their initiatives happen on behalf of the working group. So I'm going to now switch gears in my 2.5 minutes that's left and tell you about my newest career venture. So I am still secretariat for the Working Group on New TB Drugs, and I report to actually the CEO of the TB Alliance and the co-director for the TB Research Center at Johns Hopkins University. Well, recently, my co-director at Johns Hopkins was recruited to a new institute to be built. It's a HHMI, Howard Hughes Medical Institute, sponsored research institute in KwaZulu-Natal, Durban, South Africa. And this new research institute, which will be breaking ground in April of 2011, is focused on TB and HIV. And he asked me if I would be interested in moving in this direction to support the development of this new research institute. So I will be functioning as a research liaison, and essentially I've been offered a research associate faculty position at Johns Hopkins, and I'll be traveling back and forth to Durban to really get this institute off the ground. And so it's a fantastic new opportunity for me, but again, one that that came about through a lot of communication. One of the things that he said when he called me up and offered me this opportunity was, you expressed during your interview, again, for the position that I currently have, a passion for global health, to have an impact, be on cutting-edge research. And this position will start out as a more scientific administrative role, but then move more to scientific management, where I'll actually have the opportunity to work directly with scientists once I'm involved in the hiring of these scientists, and really push forth the research endeavors that we hope to accomplish. KwaZulu-Natal has greater than 10.2 million people, predominantly Zulu people, and interestingly and sadly enough, 17.5% of them are HIV positive. KwaZulu-Natal has the largest amount of TB cases, over 1,100 per 100,000 people per year, and was the site of the first place for XDR, which is extensively drug-resistant TB. So my timer is about to go off, and I only have one more slide after this, but I just put this up because, for me, this has always been a poignant poem for me, which was Robert Frost's The Road Not Taken. And again, it's a sort of a non-traditional path that I feel that I've gone on, but for me, two roads did diverge, and that was my decision point when I was had the opportunity, especially in this job market, to take a leap of faith of, you have a job in hand, or really pursue what my passions and interests were, and really had to trust that the direction that I was going on was really going to take me down the path that would be very fulfilling for me personally. Take-home messages: definitely learn your science. Be involved in your community, especially if you're interested in jobs that are interested in industry or nonprofit. Take on new challenges. I mentioned I took on the challenge of this weekly blog. It really moved me out of my comfort zone, but at the same time, it made me more aware of what was taking place in TB R&D, and so that when I meet other TB researchers, I can discuss what's going on because I've read the latest paper. And I found it very enlightening as well, because I've now been looking at setting up service contracts and getting quotes for machine and technologies that we're going to be setting up in Durban, South Africa, for a new research institute, and I've blogged about them. I've written posts about the impact of these diagnostics and looked at the raw data and have a better idea of why one particular piece of equipment would be better than another. So please keep in mind, everything requires a transition. Most of it will be mental, and some of it will be physical. And network in whatever position you're interested in. That's key. So thank you for your time.